United Kingdom. Evening news program for October the 8th. Mr. and Mrs. America in flyover country, that's me, Lou Caverly, and my colleague, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. We both rejoice at the return of our President, Donald J. Trump, back home from Walter Reed Medical Center. Tens of thousands, perhaps millions of prayers have been answered that he can now finish recuperating in the White House. As you know, tonight is part two of what we began last time. Ike's warning, you are fighting for your lives. Present foes include COVID and COVID BLM Antifa hidden population reduction scenarios. Tyranny plans are everywhere. Playing counterpoint echo to Ike's long ago 1962 warning, Trump told us all not to fear COVID or let it rule our lives, but to be careful. Just a look at October 7, 2020 natural news headlines is enough to corroborate the warnings I have just given you. Here are some of those headlines. Trump funneled billions to Operation Warp Speed vaccine companies.
And Lou, I believe these are all from naturalnews.com, are they not?
That is correct, yes.
They're very current. We just got them yesterday, so you're hearing them just a day later.
That's right. Trump funneled billions to Operation Warp Speed vaccine companies through defense contract management firm, completely bypassing regulators. Thanks to Trump, that is, we add, because all things Trump are so hated and vilified, America is now questioning all vaccines and herd immunity. Ruled by Satan, Archbishop warns of collusion between deep state and deep church to overthrow Trump and bring in the New World Order. And we add here, this is Carlo Maria Vigano, former Vatican ambassador to the U.S., in an open letter to LifeSite News. He said the deep church is using the Catholic Church as a whole to advance neoliberal authoritarianism, pointing out some prominent Catholic bishops in the U.S. endorsing Joe Biden, quote, working indecorously with Biden and BLM, following the narration imposed by the mainstream. One example, Cardinal Joseph Tobin, Archbishop of Newark. Vigano is known for calling attention to church injustices. More headlines. Many indoor ventilation systems increase the risk of coronavirus infections.
Now, I'm going to interject, Lou.
Yes.
Pay careful attention, listeners of the Divided Kingdom, because we're going to really focus on this again. So listen very carefully.
I'll repeat that. Many indoor ventilation systems increase the risk of coronavirus infections. This is from a new research study at the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom. Quote, widely used, mixing ventilation systems that help keep conditions uniform in all parts of a room also disperse airborne contaminants, including droplets containing viral particles, evenly throughout the space. The study highlights the importance of ventilation, good ventilation, and mask wearing in mitigating the risk. Another headline, more than half of the U.S. states are unable to pay their debts. Also, after fleeing socialism, some immigrants fear for America's future. Up to 70% of the KN95 masks from China don't meet health standards, warn experts. And we have this disgraceful quote. Loving, tolerant leftists celebrate Trump having COVID-19, hoping for his death. Not here, ladies and gentlemen. We at the Divided Kingdom give thanks for Donald J. Trump's warts and all, a man like Cyrus, raised up by God to stave off New World Order enslavement for us all. We pray for his total healing and protection. Americans aren't stupid as the deep state and NWO think. Here's our latest natural news headline. COVID-19 has been a boon for the gun industry, which is seeing record sales. Yes, we have to remain ever more vigilant than our president advised us. For you see, there are the hidden aspects to our history, the deep state chronicles. For example, last program we reported on the Washington Post and USA Today Obama-era articles chronicling A, the earlier attempts at producing a bioweapon suitable for a pandemic, and B, the expose of military and 9/11 casualties being either cremated in pet crematories or buried as solid waste in the landfills. Tonight we go all over the map, with the clear and present danger and tyranny locking down America in pre-election limbo. Elizabeth, you have a deep personal interest in our first breaking information, don't you?
Yes, I do, Lou. And this is an article from Natural News, October 2nd, by Cassie B. Lyme disease may be a biological weapon developed by the U.S. military. You probably know that Lyme disease comes from ticks, but if you don't personally suffer from it, you'd be forgiven for not knowing much more about it. However, there is one aspect of this disease that everyone should be concerned about, and that's the possibility that it originated as a biological weapon developed by our own military. Sadly, it's not as implausible as you might like to believe. In fact, the House of Representatives has ordered an investigation into whether the Department of Defense carried out experiments involving ticks and other insects as biological weapons. It was part of an amendment introduced by Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey, who said that he was inspired by books and articles indicating that research was carried out at American government facilities in Plum Island, New York, and Fort Detrick, Maryland, to turn ticks into bioweapons. It calls for the Inspector General of the Department of Defense to look into whether these types of experiments were conducted between 1950 and 1975. Some of the questions posed by Smith include who ordered the program and whether any diseased ticks were released. Dr. Willie Bergdorfer, who discovered the bacterial pathogen that causes Lyme disease back in 1975, was a bioweapon specialist for the military. There is evidence suggesting that he and others in his lab injected insects like ticks with pathogens that could bring about disease, disability, and death. Should the Inspector General discover these experiments did occur, the bill states that they must prepare a report on the scope of the research to the House and Senate Armed Services Committee and explain whether any of the insects involved in the experiments were released intentionally or by accident. It is also hoped that this exploration could yield some information that could help Lyme disease sufferers. Lyme Disease Association President Pat Smith said, "We need to find out, is there anything in this research that was supposedly done that can help us to find information that is germane to patient health and combating the spread of the disease?" Lyme disease cases are rising in the United States. According to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Lyme disease is the most common vector-borne illness in the U.S., with as many as 437,000 new cases being reported each year. And I would point out that when I was growing up in western Pennsylvania, I could walk out in my mother's yard, and we hung clothes outside on lines in those days, getting that wonderful, fresh, chemtrail-free air. And I had no thought about being barefooted. I wouldn't do that now, not even up at my childhood home in western Pennsylvania. It's one of the key areas where ticks are carrying Lyme disease. Back to the article, it is spread through infected ticks, and some of the symptoms include a bullseye rash around a tick bite, joint pain, impaired movement, heart palpitations, and flu-like symptoms such as chills, neck stiffness, headaches, body aches, and fatigue. When left untreated, it can cause nervous system problems, arthritis, and heart problems, the CDC reports. Numbers have been climbing in recent years, with the confirmed and probable cases reported to the CDC in 2017 representing a 17% rise over 2016's numbers. Unfortunately, for many patients, it ends up being a chronic disease that they have to battle throughout their lifetime. The antibiotics currently given for Lyme disease will sometimes help, but they can also cause problems such as gut dysfunction and deadly superbugs. Since there aren't any reliable or safe treatments for Lyme disease, prevention is essential. When you're hiking in a wooded area, it's a good idea to wear long sleeves and pants, and be sure to carry a tick check all over your body when you return. If you do come across any ticks, pull them out slowly and steadily and then flush them down the toilet. The origins of Lyme disease have always been the subject of speculation, and we are skeptical but hopeful that this investigation will provide some much-needed clarity. Governments around the world regularly carry out these types of explorations, so it would be disappointing but not too surprising to learn that the disease could have been largely avoided. Luke Caverly has an important article that he has just written recently in the last several days, and it will soon be posted at our website, dividedkingdomradio.com. And we invite you to go there under breaking news to see it. In a few days it will be posted, and to look at our other articles, and to go to our archives to hear the very vital pre-election time warnings that we've been giving. Look in our archives and you can hear the important, vital, vital programs for August, September, and now into October. And we can be heard on WWCR at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Thursday evenings, also on the shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, repeating on Saturday mornings on 7.490 at 8 a.m., and that's also 7.490 megahertz. We can be heard at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Monday evenings at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m., and we can be heard at our newest venue, KStarTalkRadio.com. Again, that's KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. And now for Lou's vital article.
Man-made Lyme disease, a personal account, October 6, 2020. Just today, I came across a chapter in Jesse Ventura's fascinating book, American Conspiracies. The chapter was entitled Lyme Disease, a Germ Warfare Experiment Gone Awry. For many people, this would be a story that could read as a scientific and historical discussion. For me, it was personal. In late 1993, Elizabeth awoke overnight crippled. This came with no warning. The onset was sudden and violent. She stared at the clothes draped over a chair that she had worn just the day before to a school conference for a student she had been tutoring. Later, we noticed a red ring near her ankle. Every minute, she felt as sick as the worst days of any flu, so extremely fatigued. Then a young visitor with bronchitis passed it on to Elizabeth. Now, with a Lyme-caused swollen knees, Elizabeth's back was pulled every time she coughed, resulting in excruciating back spasms. Next, there was also a neurological component. Objects in the room would seem to come closer, then recede. Later, the physician called it telescoping. To keep her sanity, Elizabeth watched the seemingly endless trial of O.J. Simpson. She kept up with it on a black-and-white TV I had bought her. In the days before flat-screen TVs, color TV caused her lupus to flare. Piles of magazines she loved sat untouched. She was just too ill every moment to be able to read them. This nightmare went on for 18 months. Thankfully, God brought a Christian doctor whose daughter, I had been tutoring. We had established a friendship. He was willing to make a rare home visit. He prescribed physical therapy that helped to strengthen Elizabeth, and helped her regain some neck mobility and unlock a frozen shoulder. Gradually, she was able to throw away the walker and finally the cane. The only other treatment she ever had was self-prescribed Aleve. As the Bible says, suffering builds endurance. I once had a flash that I conveyed to Elizabeth, "You're going to get well." It's a triumph of God and of Elizabeth's indomitable courage, and a supreme irony that she has overcome this insidious weapon and is able to report on it herself. Having lived through this, I was naturally very curious about Jesse Ventura's book. Ventura discusses the very strong possibility that the disease suddenly appeared in Lyme, Connecticut, sometime around 1975, because it escaped from the bioweapon laboratory and experiments being conducted at Plum Island. This island is just 26 miles across a small channel from Lyme, Connecticut. Ventura quotes from Justice Department attorney John Loftus's book, The Belarus Secret. Quote, "Even more disturbing are the records of the Nazi germ warfare scientists who came to America. They experimented with poison ticks dropped from planes to spread rare diseases. I have received some information suggesting that the U.S. tested some of these poison ticks on the Plum Island Artillery Range off the coast of Connecticut during the early 1950s, unquote. Lyme disease is, of course, spread by deer ticks. Jesse Ventura also presents another interesting coincidence. Quote, "Turns out Plum Island was experimenting with Lone Star ticks and the KN tick, feeding them on viruses and testing them on pigs in 1975 and 1976, exactly when Lyme disease first showed up across from the island. At that time, the Lone Star tick was otherwise only found in Texas. Nobody can explain how it since happened to migrate all across the eastern seaboard."
And I would like to interject there, Lou,
yes,
that a close friend of ours here in Maryland, he does a lot of outdoor work. He's a caretaker on a big estate, and he's had, I think, three or four tick diseases, and one of them was the Lone Star tick disease. And with that, you can't eat beef. And I think that's a very interesting, perhaps an indicting fact, because somehow the cattle in Texas, somehow there was a relationship where these ticks were, and that over time, he then again was able to eat beef. But this is something typical of that. There is such malevolence, and there are so many insidious aspects to all this. Go ahead with that, Lou.
Yes, let me just repeat a sentence or two there. At that time, the Lone Star tick, and again, this is 1975 to 1976. At that time, the Lone Star tick was otherwise only found in Texas. Nobody can explain how it since happened to migrate all across the eastern seaboard. Along with its cousin, the deer tick, the Lone Star variety is known for spreading Lyme disease. I, Lou, have always thought that Plum Island, along with Fort Detrick in Maryland, was one of only a very few places in the U.S. where such abominable experiments were conducted. However, consider this statement by Jesse Ventura. Quote, "The first I heard about Plum Island was a phone call from a guy named Kenneth King, a Ph.D. expert on biowarfare and the author of a book entitled Germs Gone Wild. He began by telling me, quote, there were about 200 high-containment germ lab facilities in 2001, and there are now at least 1,356, plus many more off the books. We now have a kind of military-academic industrial complex that is devoted to hyping the fear of bioterror so that they will continue to get the funds," unquote. And this is back to Jesse's words. These are back to my own words. "Hyping the fear of bioterror? My wife's anguish and torment for 18 months were far more than hype. I can't read Ventura's statistics of 1,356 plus facilities calmly. My gut fills with rage. How many thousands of other victims of the deep state NWO suffered as she did, or worse, had their lives snuffed out. Whoever runs these insidious Nazi programs, and now COVID-19, will answer one day to Almighty God's unmitigated wrath and punishment." And now Elizabeth has an essay that she will read to you that she composed.
Yes, this is another new article that you will find soon at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And we do urge all of you to tell others about our program. We're having a little bit of growth, and it's so important that these watchman warnings get out. Because Eisenhower himself, I think when he gave this warning, he knew a lot, because he warned about the military-industrial complex in his farewell address to the nation, but he had no idea, I believe, that these Nazi-like continuations would go on to this degree. It's just remarkable how this hidden evil in the deep state pharmaceutical industry, too, has gone on. So it's Big Pharma, and we are fighting for our lives, like what Ike said. So here's my article, October 6, 2020, Contract Tracing Needed in White House COVID-19 Outbreak. First, Hope Hicks. Then the American nation was shocked to its boots with the news that President Donald J. Trump was now infected with the 2020 plague. This was really astonishing, for truly our physically formidable president had been around literally thousands of people since January 2020 and COVID's first U.S. appearance. Strangely, this new pandemic pandemonium occurred just at the excruciatingly pivotal time of the small pre-election window of Amy Coney Barrett's planned Senate confirmation hearings. Was it purely coincidental that the now expanding list of corona unfortunates includes the following key Trump advisors? Chicago Sun-Times, October 5, 2020. Senior advisor Hope Hicks. Former advisor Kellyanne Conway. Press secretary Kayleigh McEnany. Campaign manager Bill Stepien. Debate coach and former New Jersey governor Chris Christie. Aide and director of Oval Office Operations, Nick Luna. Republican Party chairwoman Ronna McDaniels was not spared from the scourge. Significantly, just at the time they would be needed for attendance at hearings and voting on the Amy Coney Barrett nomination, these vital senators were felled by the novel coronavirus. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina. NaturalNews.com, October 5th, reported 29 persons in the White House now tested positive for COVID-19. Mainstream media network broadcasts began trumpeting that contact tracing would begin to get to the heart of the origins of this new disease spread. Inveterate, long-time New World Order watchers, JFK assassination, Gulf of Tonkin, fabricated incident, Gulf War, babies slaughtered in Kuwait incubators lie. Building 7 falling just after television reporter announced it had already fallen. Now stare in amazement at the White House becoming an on-site COVID clinic. Is this the latest example of Obama-era figure Rahm Emanuel's, we can't let a good crisis go to waste? Or is it indicative of a much darker, deliberate action? Something even planted in the Oval Office? Remember Dr. Aaron Bromage's article on how COVID could spread through a restaurant's air conditioning, infecting a nearby diner who later sang in a choir, infecting more, and some deaths resulted. Does the unforeseen situation need not contact tracing to locate its suspect origins, but rather mafioso contract tracing? So far, Amy Coney Barrett herself seems to be safe and well. God help and protect her in the days ahead. Even as most sane Americans, but not Michael Moore, thank Almighty Providence for Trump's miraculous early return to the White House. And now we move on to this kind of a tyranny of disinfo and these changeable aspects. First, we're looking here at the CDC. Yes, we're fighting, Ike, for our lives against this weapon of disinfo. Disinfo can ultimately kill millions. Remember those two college girls Fox News reported early on during the pandemic? They came from studying, I believe, in Italy, and they very conscientiously stopped in New York to call the CDC. Should we quarantine? What should we do? Remember how the CDC just sloughed them off and said, no, run along home, girls. Now we had September 25th. This was the headline. This was by Shane Trejo at Big League Politics. CDC admits there is no proof COVID-19 is airborne virus, and they have been misleading the public all along. Now, you heard Lou give the very newest update from the NaturalNews.com headlines. And what did we hear? We heard a great warning about the air conditioning now that fall and winter are coming because they have this mixed system to keep everything in balance. So here we were with the CDC They were saying there was no proof that it was airborne, and it goes against Dr. Francis Boyle, who was the head of the treaty, the bio weapons non-proliferation treaty under the years of H.W. Bush. He said it's a bioweapon, and it has elements of HIV and SARS, just like the Indian scientist said, just like the Nobel Prize winner, Luc Montagnier, the discoverer of AIDS. He said there were aspects of HIV in it. All of these people say it had a gain of function put into it, and it could possibly jump in the air 13 or more feet. So, no, we have the CDC now, September 25th. There's no proof that it's airborne. And we just read a little tiny bit of this. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has admitted that the organization has deceived the public throughout the entire coronavirus pandemic, backtracking on their claim that COVID-19 is an airborne virus. CDC is currently updating its recommendations regarding airborne transmission of SARS-CoV-2, the CDC explained in a note published earlier this week. This was an error on the part of our agency, and I apologize on behalf of the CDC, said John Brooks, chief medical officer for the CDC's COVID-19 emergency response, while on a call with medical professionals on Monday. The updated guidelines note that the COVID-19 virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person. It may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly their eyes. This is not thought to be the main way the virus spreads, but we are still learning more about how this virus spreads. The new guidelines state, with the CDC parsing their words carefully to note there is no concrete evidence behind their assertion. So why are politicians, along with their pals in the fake news media, calling for more economy-destroying lockdowns and closings? Is it really about protecting Americans from COVID-19? Or is it more about trying to affect the outcome of the November 3rd general election? The scientific and medical experts have failed the public consistently during the COVID-19 scamdemic. The cause may go further than mere incompetence, with these experts likely exploiting the crisis to push their preferred technocratic political agenda of totalitarian globalism. And about this issue of droplets spread in the air, circling back the CDC guidance, and this was Zero Hedge, September 23rd reporting. So now let's start to look for inconsistencies in this medical guidance. Circling back to CDC guidance, scientists are battling over whether aerosol transmission, that is spread via tiny particles that can travel over 30 feet from a sneeze or a cough, is the primary cause of COVID-19 spread. A growing number of scientists are pointing to super spreader events linked to choirs and concerts, etc., to argue the virus does primarily spread in this way, while surface contact and spread from close interaction are also important vectors, according to the Washington Post. And so, by the way, now I'm interjecting here, Elizabeth, Lou was aghast when he saw on the internet the CDC sign at the entrance of the Edward R. Roybal campus. And this is their main complex, we believe, and it was probably dedicated to this former congressman, Edward R. Roybal. Listeners, this thing at the entrance, the sign, it's a tombstone done in blue and gray. The configuration is unmistakable. Is this a sister to the Georgia Guidestones Monument in Elberton, Georgia, where someone mysterious from the New World Order put the new Ten Commandments for the new order that they'd like to bring in? And I believe it is commandment number one, keep the Earth's population in balance at 500 million. There's a lot to think about, Ike. We're here fighting. You said our best would be good enough. And I believe, speaking for myself, we need the prayers and repentance all throughout this nation to Almighty God, or the judgment will continue. We have no idea, really, what the outcome will be November 3rd. But back now, we're following up the CDC, the Tombstone area kind of guidance for our health. Here was October 5th, Mike Adams at Natural News. Breaking, CDC flips again. Now says coronavirus is spread through aerosolized respiratory droplets that linger in the air. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a discredited front group for the vaccine industry, has flip-flopped yet again, this time settling on the claim that Wuhan coronavirus particles do indeed spread through the air, riding along with aerosolized spit particles that are ejected from the mouths of people as they speak. Quote, the guidelines on how the coronavirus spreads were initially updated last month to acknowledge a role, and possibly the primary one, played by tiny aerosol particles in spreading the virus, reports the Wall Street Journal, a pro-vaccine, pro-pharma publication. Quote, but the agency removed the changes only days later, saying a draft version of the proposed changes had been posted in error. In its latest revisions to the guidelines Monday, the CDC acknowledged a role for the tiny airborne particles. Lou, doesn't this look like a spirit of confusion is being engendered? It's the Hegelian dialectic. You present both sides, left and right, and then you leave people more confused than ever?
That's right, and probably more panicky. I think that might be one of the goals, to get everybody kind of all stirred up, all panic-stricken.
That's right. Keep the fear going.
Yes.
Absolutely. You had a big quote about that fear, didn't you, from somewhere that you were looking into. It was you may bring that out at a later point.
Yes.
We do know about FDR, that the only thing we had to fear was fear itself. There was someone else who had an interesting quote. Well, back to the CDC and Mike Adams's October 5th article at naturalnews.com. This means the CDC, after months of junk science denialism, has finally come around to the position of Natural News, where we explained from February that respiratory viruses travel through the air, hitching a ride on aerosolized spit particles. But in the months since, the CDC and WHO, and that's the World Health Organization, have at various times denied that coronavirus strains could spread through the air, and then alternately confirmed that they could. Noticeably, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube have banned content that claimed the coronavirus could spread through the air because such information contradicted the CDC. This demonstrates the idiocy of big tech censorship policies as they are rooted in the false, quote, authority of bodies like the CDC and WHO that have no loyalty to anything other than political narratives that enrich big pharma. Aerosolized virus particles help explain why masks help prevent infections from spreading when worn by those who are already infected. Now, I'm going to interject again. Those words were from Mike Adams, and we realize that a large part of the blockhead patriot community, radio broadcasters, really do have to take some responsibility, I believe, in my deepest heart, for a lot of illness and possibly deaths from COVID, because they promoted this idea that this virus was nothing more than the flu and that it was a hoax. The ridiculous, irrational part of this makes us even question these broadcasters. I can't bring myself to listen to several of them. I used to listen faithfully. I can't do it, because I don't know what's wrong with them. Are they sold out? Are they this stupid scientifically? Some of them actually had Dr. Francis Boyle on their program, and he talked about the evidence from the North Carolina work on the bat business and all of this, the gain of function, and then the work being transferred over to Wuhan with NIH backing during the Obama years. No, we can't have it both ways. If it's a bioweapon, it's not a hoax. It's not harmless. And we really do stand behind Dr. Deborah Birx's admonitions to you. We told you, listeners, we never have any kind of sponsorship. We do not have commercials. But we're glad to hear her voice telling people still to be careful. We know that Herman Cain is dead. There are others who are dead. And now look at these 29 who are ill. We hope and pray it is a milder form than it was. Now, we're back to Mike Adams. He says, now we face a situation where the CDC can't decide what to say because its positions are determined by politics, not science. The truth is, if the coronavirus can't spread through the air, then neither can influenza or any other respiratory illness for that matter. What the CDC is finally coming around to recognizing, 8 months too late, is that the reason masks help spread respiratory infections is because they trap the spit particles of people who are infected. Masks offer no real protection to wearers who are not yet infected, but they do trap the spit ejections of those who are carriers. This simple fact is yet to be recognized by the anti-mask advocates across indie media who continue to falsely claim that masks can't work and might even be dangerous. Notably, the coronavirus travels attached to spit particles, which are much larger than the virus itself, which explains why masks that have weave fibers, and that's W-E-A-V-E, weave fibers, which are much larger than the virus, can still trap viruses traveling on large respiratory particles. One of the arguments of the anti-mask advocates has been that masks can't trap the coronavirus because the virus is physically too small to be caught in the mask fibers. But those making the argument fail to recognize that the virus isn't traveling in the air all by itself. It's attached to much larger spit particles, which are very easily trapped by N95 masks or even bandanas. There is evidence indicating the virus can spread under certain conditions, via the smaller airborne particles to people who were more than 6 feet away, reports the Wall Street Journal. Lou, you see there, the mainstream press is having to catch up to the truth a little bit. There was just too much publicity given to people like Dr. Luc Montagnier, Dr. Francis Boyle. People are not stupid anymore. They can go on the Internet. They can find out about the gain of function. They can find out about that man who was on a bus and apparently the virus jumped at least 13 feet from a person who was infected to him. That is a gain of function, and that is definitely aerosolized spread. Back to Mike there talking about the Wall Street Journal and his comment on this. This means the 6 foot social distancing guideline is nonsense. Viruses don't magically stop at 6 feet. The CDC goes on to say transmissions occurred within enclosed spaces that had inadequate ventilation, which means it's also pointless for people to wear masks when outdoors, such as while jogging on the beach or walking their dog. Strangely enough, Trump being infected with the Wuhan coronavirus might be the very thing that saves his presidency. And as we look at this strange pattern of disinfo and true info, we had the Western Journal published September 25th by Aaron Coates. A new study released Wednesday found that the novel coronavirus may have mutated to get around interventions such as mask wearing. And it goes on to talk about this. David Morin's, a virologist at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, reviewed this study by scientists in Houston and said it suggests the virus has become more transmissible and could have implications for our ability to control it. And he says, wearing masks, washing our hands, all those things are barriers to transmissibility or contagion, but as the virus becomes more contagious, it statistically is better at getting around those barriers. You know, this is about as strange as that other theory we heard, Lou, one time, that if you kept living in air pollution, eventually you would get acclimated to it and your body would change and it would no longer really affect your lungs. This stupid stuff. At least Morin's did say, he added, that is, that, quote, you don't want to overinterpret the study's implications. Well, this is Elizabeth, I should say so. This ridiculous theory about the virus getting around masks would need a lot more proof before I would buy it. Is this still one more clever way to make people think masks are useless and thereby let them quit wearing them and get more people infected and let the population culling continue? But there may be some truth later in that article when they talk about mutations. We have heard that there were various strains and there are mutations. But this kind of disinfo goes back all the way to the beginning of this pandemic. We couldn't believe it. We found this article, and at first we thought that it was current, but it seemed so strange because the numbers of people with COVID were so tiny. But this was actually from March the 12th, Thursday, 2020, and this was in Natural News. They're trying to spread it. Sacramento County announces ending all 14-day quarantines and releasing high-risk people into the general public. Now, did this mean that deliberate death was on the march back that early? That was the headline, March 12, 2020. And we'll just get a little bit of that. This was from the Sacramento County press release, and Natural News was covering it. Now we know the anti-Trump liberals in America are literally trying to spread the virus and make the outbreak worse. 3 days ago, Sacramento County announced it was ending all 14-day quarantines of high-risk people who had come into direct contact with coronavirus patients. This is being described by the county as a shift from containment to mitigation, meaning they are declaring there's no longer any point in trying to contain the outbreak, even though they have only 10 confirmed cases in the entire county. The policy is criminally insane. It flies in the face of every principle of infectious disease containment known to the modern world. This tactic from Sacramento County is ripped right out of the 17th century and smacks of deliberate sabotage to try to spread the virus and worsen the outbreak. This announcement by Sacramento County is just amazing. Note, too, that none of the people being released are going to be tested. So there's zero testing, zero containment, and zero medical sanity in Sacramento County. This looks to us, as we return from the present, fall 2020, back to March, as yet, as we said before, another attempt early on to spread deliberate death and eventually the left's totalitarian tyranny.
Yes, Elizabeth, look how far this attempt at tyranny has gone globally since the early attempts in Sacramento County. Shock, Melbourne to start arresting COVID-19 conspiracy theorists and throwing them in concentration camps. Thursday, September 24th, 2020, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. A new proposal by Daniel Andrews, the 48th incumbent premier of Victoria in Australia, would make it so that residents of the state who violate its Wuhan coronavirus restrictions, or even just spread what the government deems to be, quote, conspiracy theories, unquote, about the pandemic, can be locked up or thrown in concentration camps by any, quote, public servant, unquote. The power-crazed politician of the far-left Australian state has already made global headlines for sanctioning breaking into people's homes and smashing their car windows upon suspicion that Wuhan coronavirus restrictions are being flouted. Now he wants to start arresting and detaining people without any evidence of a crime being committed, all to keep people, quote-unquote, safe from the Wuhan coronavirus. Otherwise, innocent Victorians, should Andrew's proposal be enacted, would be subject to arrest by any public servant, that's in quotes, public servant, not just a police officer, if they are merely suspected of having the Wuhan coronavirus. Arrests would also be permitted of those who question the official pandemic narrative, which the government considers to be the spread of dangerous, quote, conspiracy theories, unquote. The proposal also contains provisions for how to handle people who are suspected of breaching Wuhan coronavirus rules at their homes and workplaces. Snitches would be able to call a government tip line to report potential violations, prompting, quote, public servants, unquote, to come out for an inspection or to make an arrest. And then we have even more uncertainty in Britain, whose clock hands are beginning to point toward COVID vaccine tyranny. This is from Zero Hedge. Is the UK heading toward medical martial law? This was by Tyler Durden, Saturday, October 3rd. On the 28th September, Tobias Elwood, Tory MP for Bournemouth East, stood up in Parliament and suggested that the British Army and the Ministry of Defense be in charge of distributing and administering, quote, millions of doses, unquote, of the SARS-CoV-2 vaccines, as well as issuing, quote, vaccination certificates, unquote, which will allow travel. And that's just the highlights. There's a lot more vaguely sinister language camouflaged in this rather drab monotone voice.
Here comes the MasterCard, the trust stamp again. Remember, if you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners, go back and start listening to our August programs at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Pick it up, Lou.
This is a concerning development, one very much worth keeping an eye on. The BBC doesn't think so, of course, because the call for what would easily amount to medical martial law didn't even make it into their Today in Parliament program. This is not new behavior for Elwood. He has always been a consistent voice for use of the military in response to the pandemic. On the 18th of September, he requested the Prime Minister make, and this is in quotes, greater use of our fine armed forces, unquote. He specifically mentions managing the narrative, which is no surprise, considering his role as a former Army officer, a current reserves officer, and his known affiliation with the 77th Brigade. For those who don't know, the 77th is the British Army's team of, quote, Facebook warriors, unquote. An information warfare unit whose job is to counter misinformation, manage the narrative, and generally corral and control the Internet conversation. This is not a conspiracy theory. Their existence is readily acknowledged by both the government and the mainstream media. Considering they're currently employed, quote, countering COVID misinformation, unquote, they will likely be in the comments of this post. And so that's a little bit about what's happening in the United Kingdom. Now, closer to home, we have an article entitled, Ohio Mom Tased and Arrested a Middle School Football Game. From Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, Thursday, September 24th, 2020. A new incident in Ohio where a woman was outside of a middle school football game without a required mask resulted in the police tasing and arresting her. Video of the arrest is now going viral precisely because it's an instance of police not showing common sense, again at an outdoor venue. We should add that the event appears sparsely attended, with no more than a mere half dozen people being seen in the section of the stands where the woman was sitting. It even appears she only sat near her own family and children. And children could be heard crying as the mom's arrest unfolded. A school resource officer is seen approaching the woman, identified as Alicia Kitts, at which time she refused to obey his order to wear a mask or leave the premises. After Kitts refused to leave the stadium, the officer warned she would be cited for trespassing. She was tased after she resisted arrest. I will not put my hands behind my back, the woman had shouted along with obscenities. I am not currently doing anything wrong. She cited that she had asthma, which made wearing a mask deeply uncomfortable for her and even dangerous. The Logan Police Department defended the action of its officer, saying, quote, it is important to note the female was not arrested for failing to wear a mask. She was asked to leave the premises for continually violating school policy, unquote. The school, which hosted the football game, also underscored in a statement that out of 300 people that attended the game, it was only the woman and her friend that wouldn't comply with the school district's mask policy. But, and I'm interjecting now, we ask, how can those same police justify their brutality in endangering the life of a woman with asthma and a mother with tasering? No, stormtroopers in America are just not justified.
And then, Lou, as this vaccine tyranny, this forced vaccine tyranny, begins to rear its ugly head, we have Tuesday, August 25th, Natural News by Ethan Huff. Pope Francis endorses coronavirus vaccines for all. And I guess this tyrannical mandate is coming from the religious control arm of the New World Order. You talked about it with Cardinal Vigano, his warnings, and here we have the head honcho offering his take on the government's response to the Wuhan coronavirus. Pope Francis of the Roman Catholic Church has indicated that he believes all people everywhere should get vaccinated. In a recent afternoon address, Pope Francis suggested that whatever vaccines are released for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, need to be made, quote, universal and for all, end of quote, rather than be restricted just to certain countries, regions, or people groups. Quote, it would be sad if we gave priority for the COVID-19 vaccine to the richest people, he declared. It would be sad if this vaccine became the property of this or that nation and was not universal and for all. Completely ignoring the fact that Wuhan coronavirus vaccines are being made with aborted human fetal tissue and other ingredients that Catholics would not normally support, Pope Francis framed his argument in terms of the jabs being necessary to cure the pandemic. While other Catholic leaders, such as Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano and U.S. Bishop Joseph Strickland, have come out in condemnation of Wuhan coronavirus vaccines for this reason, Pope Francis is fully on board with the jabs, which he believes need to be distributed in a socialist fashion to prevent, quote, inequality. While Pope Francis stopped short of claiming that the Wuhan coronavirus is only harming the poor, he did launch into a diatribe of social justice warrior propaganda during his speech, claiming that the, quote, devastating path of the virus has created, quote, great inequalities and discriminations. Pope Francis says there are two viruses, coronavirus and social injustice. According to Pope Francis, the Wuhan coronavirus is just the little virus in need of a cure. The, quote, big virus, he contends, is, quote, social injustice, which includes unequal opportunity, marginalization, and lack of protection for the weakest members of society. In other words, the Wuhan coronavirus is just an afterthought at this point. The pandemic response was never really about curing it, functioning more as a launching pad for virtue signalers like Pope Francis to extrapolate the narrative as a means of pushing socialism and a globalist New World Order. Pope Francis made it abundantly clear during his speech that people are desperate to return to, quote, normality and take up economic activities again, end of quote, when they should instead, in his view, take up a, quote, new normal, end of quote, that is more, quote, equitable and, quote, fair for everyone on the planet. The pandemic is a crisis, and we don't come out of a crisis unchanged, he opined. Either we leave better or we leave worse, insinuating that the time is ripe to burn the old system to the ground, in essence, and allow the proverbial phoenix to rise from its ashes. Pope Francis went on to emphasize his hope that people will emerge from the pandemic changed, both in mind and intent. Quote, today we have an opportunity to build something different, Pope Francis stated plainly, clearly referencing the new globalist order that he would like to see replace the existing world order. And this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly interjecting. Where have we heard this? We hear an echo from former President Obama, who recently came to our television screen saying that it was good to change the Constitution, the living Constitution. So we see all these voices coming out of the deep state and what Vigano calls the deep church. Some would call it the Jesuit, the black Jesuit order. So going on with this article from Natural News, the World Health Organization naturally agrees with this effort. Its head, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, tweeting, I couldn't agree more with your holiness, Pontifex. The COVID-19 pandemic shows that we must make health a human right for all and not allow it to be a few. It also gives us an opportunity to rebuild a better, safer, fairer world together. The WHO is right now calling on countries all around the world to join in on an endeavor called the COVAX Pillar, which basically aims to redistribute wealth and jointly unveil a successful Wuhan coronavirus vaccine to be mass distributed to all humans. We can see very clearly what's going on here. We can see the plot, the plan to change our lives forever. And we probably won't get enough time to complete everything tonight. So under this theme of We Are Fighting for Our Lives, President Eisenhower's warning back to those Republicans at the Bedford Springs Hotel in summer of 1962, when he said, "You are fighting for your lives. You don't know it yet." I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "Whenever you realize it, you will be up to the task." Next week will be a very, very important article, because this kind of eclipses everything, all the warnings we've given you. It's the new DARPA mind chip, and it does have connections with COVID. So we will be bringing that to you. We will be bringing you important warnings. And we do ask if some of you could help us with a money order. You don't even need to fill out your name on it, or a check only made out to WWCR. Lou and I cannot take personal checks, or a little bit of cash, or some postage stamps. You can put it in an envelope and mail it to Lou Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we now have Speak Up and Stand Firm Against Mandatory COVID-19 Vaccines, urges RFK Jr., Friday, October 2nd. That was Lou's birthday. It was written by Zoe Sky. And we may have to shorten this or get into it more next week. But RFK urged us to fight for health freedom. And there was a special video made by RFK Jr., a video for the Children's Health Defense, Health Freedom Advocates in this organization, linked up with other countries and other organizations, including Natural News' health ranger, Mike Adams. And they were all speaking up against mandatory vaccines. And we know that there was a groundbreaking speech given at Munich, Germany, by RFK Jr. And many, many people are waking up against the vaccine dangers. Even the UN back in January of 2020, some of their leading scientists, listeners, admitted they weren't sure that vaccines were safe, and particularly in regard to the adjuvants, those substances added to give them more power, that is, the vaccines, be a little more virulent, things like squalene, other things, other adjuvants. We are running out of time, but we ask you to pray deeply for President Trump and his administration, and pray about the election. Pray to God Almighty, repenting of your sins, as Lou and I are doing, and pleading with God for mercy once more to give Americans more time. There's so much good in many American hearts. Please stay safe. Use your common sense that God gave you. And thank you for listening. Go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night.